We have all been blessed today with the opportunity to come and worship God. We've been given reasonable health, presence of mind, a free country, and all of these things have blessed our lives to motivate us to want to be here. And today, it's an honor to have this privilege. Each of us is honored to have this privilege. Paul and I are especially honored to be in your presence because you mean so much to us in the work that we're doing in Connecticut. And we're very thankful for you, your encouragement through the years. I want to share with you some thoughts today that are based on the lesson that was just read from the book of John, chapter 4. This woman at Samaria has been approached by Jesus. She learns of his living water, and then he asks her some questions. She's very concerned that he would know so much about her. And as she leaves, she goes back into the village and says, "I met a man who told me everything I ever did. Is it possible that this is the Messiah?" The people who lived in that village of Samaria came out to listen to Jesus talk. They had been recommended to make that visit to Jesus by the woman. And after a while they said, "Now we believe not because of what you said about him, but we believe because we've heard for ourselves." It would have been an entirely different story if this woman had not recommended her newfound faith to her friends. I want to ask this question of you this morning. Can you recommend your religion? First of all, can you recommend your religion by the Bible? Now, that's a very important question. I'm not asking you other questions that are commonly asked when people say, "I recommend my religion because of this or that or something else." I'm asking you this specific question: can you recommend it by the Bible? When Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians in the second book of Thessalonians, he encouraged them to hold on to the things that they had been taught. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we have passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." Notice the challenge of this passage. It is to hold on. If we don't hold on, we will probably drift away. If we don't hold on, we probably will not be able to articulate what we believe. So the challenge is, hold on to what you've been taught. But notice he specifies what has been taught. He said, "whether by word of mouth or by letter from us," that is from the apostles. They are the ones who gave us the written New Testament. So my question is, do you do that? In your religion, are you holding on to the things that the apostles taught? Can you recommend your religion by the Bible? I'm not asking you, can you recommend your religion by what your parents believed? I was blessed to have godly parents, but my parents taught me that the reason that I do what I do needs to be because of what the Bible says, not because of what my parents said. So as I grew up, I began to challenge things in my mind that I had learned from youth, and I began to do so on the basis of what does the Bible say. And my faith today is based on what the Bible teaches, not what my parents taught me. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew that he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Family ties are precious ties, but there needs to be a relationship that you and I have with God based on the teachings of his word that supersedes the importance of any relationship on this earth. So I'm not asking you, what did your parents believe? I'm asking you, can you recommend your religion by the Bible? I'm not asking you, can you recommend your religion by the number of people that think like you do or believe like you do, or the number of members that your religion has. Some people have the mistaken idea that the bigger the religion, the odds are that it will be true. But that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes the multitude is on the wrong track. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, Moses said to the Israelites, "Do not follow a crowd to do evil." Sometimes the crowd doesn't always do right. So the question is not, what's the biggest church? How many people believe? How many people are members of it? The question is, can you recommend your religion by the Bible? Jesus, in his precious Sermon on the Mount, spoke about the narrow road that leads to heaven. He gave us these challenging words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many people enter it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." If the crowd was wrong, and if the gate and road to heaven is narrow, can you be on that road? Only if you can recommend your religion by your Bible. I'm not asking you, can you recommend your religion by the way you feel? A lot of people feel good about things that are not necessarily valid. Do you remember the story of Jacob back in the book of Genesis when he was told that his son Joseph had been killed by a wild beast? And he was presented with Jacob's coat and it had blood all over it. The testimony of the other brothers was that he had been killed by a wild beast. For over 20 years, Jacob mourned over the death of his son Joseph. He had no idea that his feelings were not guiding him correctly. His son was safe in the land of Egypt, and God had sent him there to prepare a way for the coming of God's folks from up in the land of Israel so that they would be preserved during the famine. In the providence of God, Joseph was very much alive. Now, the Bible does say in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So we might feel a certain way about something and be on the wrong track altogether. We might be totally mistaken. Either we might be too pleased or we might be too upset. That's why God has given us the Bible to teach us what He wants us to do, what He wants us to believe, and how He wants us to live. The question is, not do you feel good about your religion, but can you recommend it by the Bible? We all ought to be able to go to the Bible and say, here is a book and a chapter and a verse for my religion. I can find the name of the church that I worship with in the Bible. I can find the plan of salvation that my church has been teaching me in the Bible. I can find baptism and its design and its purpose in the Bible. I can find the way to live in the Bible. Only then can we truly answer the question, can I recommend my religion by the Bible? The second question I want to ask you today is, can you recommend your religion by the way you live? A religion that doesn't change the way a person lives is not worth very much. Christians ought to be different from the world, and they ought to change when they become Christians in order to be different from the world. Christians are described in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, as lights in the world. That is, they make a difference in the world. The light that is in this world is because Christians have been changed in the way they live. Their religion has changed them. Jesus said that we are like a city that's set upon a hill. And we are like a light that's put on a stand that no one can cover with a bushel Our light so shines before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Is that the light you shine in this world? Is that the difference you're making by your life? There are two or three things that come to my mind immediately when I think about the lives that we live. Number one, we need to be careful about the friends we select. I don't think of very many things that have a greater influence on whether or not a person lives a Christian life than the friends that he keeps. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, that evil company corrupts good morals. And when Paul wrote to his early believers in Christ, he said they are surprised, Peter, excuse me, he said they are surprised that you don't run with them in their same wild living. That's 1 Peter chapter 4. You see, something changed those people. Their lives were different because they were Christians. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he said what happened was you were baptized and you came up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And the old man was crucified, and the body of sin was destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. A Christian lives a different sort of life, and one way it is shown is the company he keeps. I hope that you want to make Christians your best friends, your closest friends, because they can encourage you to live the Christian life, and you can encourage them to do the same. But there's something else that indicates whether or not a person is living a new life, and that is the language that he uses. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes about the language that Christians used in the early days of Christianity, and he said that it needs to be a different sort of language now that they're Christians. Listen to these words from Colossians, the third chapter. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these, but the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, and don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and its practices, and have put on a new self that's being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. There is nothing that betrays a person quicker than his speech. Paul wanted to emphasize this so clearly and plainly that no one would miss the point of what he was saying. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he continued the same thought, but in clearer words. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For you can be sure of this: no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. A Christian seeks to avoid the use of the four-lettered words that are obscenities. The Christian tries his best to avoid the jokes that are unclean. A Christian tries his best to control his speech because he knows that no matter what other people may say to justify that speech, because of these very things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. Our speech gives us away quicker than anything else. So the question this morning is this: can you recommend your religion by the way you live? Thirdly, can you recommend your religion by the way you're supporting it? When Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 16, he mentioned a woman who is described as a servant of the church. That is, she loved the church, and her heart was involved in it to the point that she wanted to serve in some capacities in whatever way she could as a godly Christian woman to serve the best interest of God's church. Phoebe went down in history as a true servant of the Church of God at Cenchrea. Paul, as he writes to the Colossians, says, "I was made a servant of the church," chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. A servant is someone whose life centers around another. And the servant of the church is one who loves the church and whose life centers in the church. So he wants to be a supportive member of the church. Can you support it by the way you attend the services? In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the writer says that we should not neglect to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In that same passage, he said, stir up each other to love and good works. You know why those two verses go together? Because it is when we come together that we have an opportunity to speak together and encourage one another to love and good works. And then we depart to go out into the world to remember that we are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to live like we are. And then we have the chance to come together again and to encourage each other, provoke and stir up one another to love and good works. When a person decides to drop out of church, he cuts himself off from both the opportunity to give love and to receive love, to be encouraged in good works, and to receive encouragement for good works. Can you recommend the religion that you have by the way you support it with your money? Paul says to the Corinthians in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9, God loves a cheerful giver, and each one should give as he has made up his mind to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. When we come together to give, have you already prayed about your gift? Have you already planned ahead? Do you know what you're going to give? Are you that serious about giving? That God, who looks upon the heart, knows that when you give, you've given because you've purposed in your heart to give. And you're giving not because you have to, not reluctantly, not because you're being forced to, not under compulsion, but because you are a cheerful giver. Cheerful givers will give sacrificially. It makes all the difference in the world in the health of the church when those who are members of the church consider themselves the servants of the church. Number 4. Can you recommend your religion by the way it works for you? Personally, I would not want to have a religion that didn't work for me. I wouldn't want a religion that was just all theoretical and not practical. The religion of Jesus Christ can be recommended for any circumstance of life. There is not a crisis that ever arises in our lives that the religion of Jesus Christ cannot help us with. There's never a question it cannot help us find the answer to. And so, can you recommend your religion by the way it's working for you? How about in your struggles to make ends meet from one month to the next or one week to the next? Have you found that God is the one who will supply your needs even when the cash gets very thin? Do you remember that Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Or takes care of them, the birds of the air, and then he considers the lilies, the heavenly Father dresses them, and those who are in Solomon's court did not have beautiful things like those lilies are, because God is taking care of even the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is gone. God loves you so much. He's promised that just as he takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, he's going to take care of you. He'll give you enough to wear and enough to eat and enough to drink as long as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. David had lived a long time. He looked back on his life and he said in the 37th Psalm, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. And later in Psalm 84, he said, the Lord withholds no good thing from the person who walks uprightly. God loves you. He wants you to have what you need, and he will provide what you need. Even in the darkest hours, he'll give you the strength that you need to go through whatever you go through. I hope that you have found that the religion of Jesus Christ is working for you. When you come to the last hour of your life, the religion of Jesus Christ will take you through the river to the other side. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord said, when you come to the river, I will be with you. And our Lord said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14 has been a great comfort to Christians as long as I can remember. And I hope that they will continue to be in your life, and particularly when we come to the last hour. When the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy, he wrote the last book that he was going to write. And he left us these memorable words. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If you fought that good fight, if you've run that race, and if you've kept the faith, when you come to the hour of your departure, the Lord has promised you a crown of righteousness because you've loved his appearing. There are some religions in the world that I wouldn't want to recommend. I would not want to recommend a religion that's filled with hatred and anger and violence and hostility and burns people alive in cages. I wouldn't want to recommend a religion that burns widows on the funeral pyre of their husbands, that advocates a loose and immoral society. I wouldn't want to recommend a religion that tells me that God has given some book that he didn't give and that there is another testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when there isn't. I wouldn't want to recommend a religion that gives me some kind of an illusionary hope that a human being can become a god. I wouldn't recommend that religion at all. But I would recommend to you today the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the religion of the Bible. And my question to you is, can you recommend the religion you have by the Bible? Can you recommend your religion by the way you're living? Can you recommend your religion by the way you support it? Can you recommend your religion by the way it's working for you? If today you're ready to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace him, it's the only religion worth embracing. Would you come to Jesus today with faith in your heart, repenting of your sins, ready to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and start a brand new relationship with God with all your past behind you and all the future before you. Will you come now as we stand together and sing?